You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk and show number 419. Today is September 16th, and my name is Hamilton. No Stevie tonight, as he still has not come back down to earth from the sweep of the Giants and our West Coast road trip, although today's game against the Nats sort of helped. But Kurt's here. So Kurt and I will carry the load. Yes, exactly. Buckle up, folks.
It's Sunday's game.
Sunday's game. Sorry. I'm not supposed to say today's game. Steve gets mad when I do that, but he's not here. All right, let's get into it. But before we get started, remember you can find us, as always, at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. You can also find us at BlogTalkRadio.com, also other great podcast there. You can follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and check out our Facebook page. And finally, help spread the word about the show. Give us a review or a rating. Retweet the show when we send out the link. Do whatever you can. Because if you don't do it, Luke Jackson will start every game of the division series. How is that? Better than Steve's?
Sure.
All right, I need some more enthusiasm from you, Kurt. You're not carrying me here. Yeah, there we go. All right, so Curtis, on the show tonight, we will review the past week. We'll go inside the numbers. We will revisit our ideal starting pitching rotation for the division series, our postseason hope meter, shots in the dark, and the week ahead. But first, a quick break. All right, Curtis, so let's take a look back at this past week. So the week started with the continued winning on the West Coast and a sweep of the Giants, and then coming home for a big win against the Nats, but unfortunately ending the weekend with just poor pitching, poor hitting performances, and back-to-back losses against the Nats. So, Curtis, we said, both of us said on last week's show that we would end the week at a nine-game magic number.
Magic number, right.
And in fact, it's down to eight today with 13 games to play. The Phillies sit 6.5 games back. The Nats are at 7.5 games back, just doing that to humor them and actually mention them in the same sentence. So a pretty good week, a 4-2 week. But Curtis, what thoughts are you left with after this week?
Obviously the sweep in San Francisco, you can't take anything away from that. The Giants are not playing great, but that's always been a tough place for the Braves to play. And so you get out of there with three wins. That was an amazing road trip, culminated with those three games. And just for the Braves to really, after that tough series, that Boston series, and to go away with the game that they went away on, to go out there and play as well as they did, and to take care of business against San Francisco. I mean, maybe San Francisco is not a great team right now, but you got to play them and you got to win those games. Yep. So it's obviously disappointing to come home. The Nationals are playing much better lately. It's almost sort of, you know, a team that really knows there's nothing in front of them. And so they've sort of let all the stress that I think weighed them down for so much this season is all gone. And now they're probably playing the way that most people expected them to. And I don't think that there's any doubt that they are going to enjoy messing with the Phillies and the Braves as much as possible going down the stretch. The games, really, the two losses against the Nationals were really terrible. And I think
Saturdays.
And Saturday in particular, obviously. And the Braves, for whatever reason, are not great at home. They are now 38-36 at SunTrust Park, which is weird because they have the National League's best road record. And I think I could be mistaken, but I believe they will have to play some home games at.
I think that's during how they the set postseason. Them up. I think they set them up that way. Yes.
I don't know if they can lobby maybe to do them all on the road. The walks on Saturday, it's just terrific. I mean, they broke a franchise record that went back to 1938 with the Boston Bees walking 14 guys. And this has been a problem. I mean, that Arizona series, they had three straight games where they walked at least nine guys. I mean, you just cannot give up a walk, you know, an extra base runner, an inning, basically, is what they're doing. I mean, bad teams will kill you for doing that. And I mean, you get to the postseason where everything is sort of hanging on a thread and you can't just be given away base runners the way they are. And I think effectively Tehran and Newcomb work their way out of postseason rotation discussions because I don't know that you can trust either one of them, specifically at home.
Well, Tehran, pitching bases loaded and throwing four straight balls.
Right.
I mean, just like that's your ace, supposedly. I mean, obviously, Folty is our ace now, but you can. I mean, if that's what's happening in games that matter, you can't trust him.
Yeah, and I mean, it's sort of disappointing because Tehran had really been pitching very well, and you sort of hope that he had kind of figured it out. And then, I mean, and obviously they're not going to pitch great every single outing, but that was really a dud. And then Newcomb on Sunday couldn't get out of the third inning. I mean, I guess he got through three innings, but it was laboring the entire time. And it's almost like these, specifically with all these younger pitchers, you saw sort of a parade of them on Sunday. They're trying to be too perfect. You know, they're throwing breaking balls that aren't getting in the strike zone. And these major league hitters are not swinging at them. And then they got a groove of fastball, or they're throwing pitches that are so far out of the strike zone that there's no need for these batters to even offer at them. And so,
Yeah,
it was sort of a dud to end the week.
Tough way to end the week. Because you're right, because we started off so strong, and that sweep was great, and the 10-5 win on Friday was great against the Nats. Folty in San Francisco. I mean, I was very heartened by, the whole thing, him pitching in cooler weather, not as humid. His grip on the ball is better, and he dominated, right? I mean, it seemed unfair, some of the pitches that he was throwing, and he was hitting high 90s. Even with his last pitch of the game, he was just in control. His cutter was working super effectively. He could be a force to reckon with in the postseason. And I think Freddie's going to get out of his slump. I just sense it. I mean, I don't know why. There's nothing based on that. I mean, he had a tough week this week, but I don't know. His head's still in it. He's still walking, scoring runs, doing what he needs to do. I feel like that slump's out of the way. But you're right. To the bullpen. And you know, half of our rotation is very worrisome as we look at a postseason berth, right? And the walks. I don't know what to do about it. And Snitker seems intent on not trying Kyle Wright or any of the guys, Bryce Wilson, and he keeps going with Luke Jackson. You know, just like he just is intent on bringing in guys who can't do it. I don't know why. I mean, I guess they're more seasoned, obviously, but they're certainly not performing. And I feel like I would rather roll the dice with someone that we don't know than what we do know with someone.
But, you know, and maybe that we saw Tuki Toussaint pitch on Saturday and was not very effective coming out of the bullpen.
Four walks, two innings. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that these guys that have started their whole careers, and I know that that's a way a lot of guys break through getting to the majors, but it may just not be suited for them. You know, maybe he's just saving guys for long relief roles. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, there is, again, we've had this conversation seemingly all season long. There is still nobody in the bullpen that I have faith with. It's great to get Vizcaino back, to add another arm out there, and to add a guy who is our closer effectively and, you know, has performed well in that space at times, so we don't have to sort of rely on some of these other guys. But it's really, when this season comes to an end, it will be because of
the walks
and the inability of the bullpen to hold leads and keep teams where they are. It's just there's too much inconsistency with where we get a game where they pitch great. You know, I mean, it's every single game they're giving up runs, they're walking a bunch of guys, et cetera, et cetera. So that will be the downfall of this season at some point, I'm afraid.
Yeah. I mean, we were tempted, but I think there was, I think it was the Sanchez start against the Giants where we had, I think it was Venter's Brock Minter clean inning for each of them, which was nice, but those are too far and in between, you know, few and far in between. And
that's obviously three of your better relievers too.
Right.
So, I mean, when you can't rely on those three guys.
Well, if your starter can get out of the third. What are you going to do?
Of course.
I mean, the only other thing I take
which is back-to-back games, basically.
Yeah.
I forget how far Tehran got in his game on Saturday, but it wasn't deep.
Four innings, I think. I mean, at least the one thing that I think could save the bullpen is we still seem to be able to come up with clutch hits. We had a bunch on the West Coast, you know, and we were way down, and we still, clawed back and made a game of it today, so in Sunday. So I think... you know, that's what's going to save us. If we go out bad, it's going to be because of the walks and the bad bullpen. If we win this, it's going to be clutch hitting that does it. And faulty.
Sure. Absolutely. Faulty.
Yeah. All right. So let's look inside the numbers where I throw out some stats and get some reactions to it. So first of all, let's throw out some stats for Sam Freeman and Luke Jackson over roughly the past 30 days. All right. So over the past 30 games, actually, for the Braves, Freeman, 8.1 innings pitched. So this is since he's come back from his injury. Seven hits, four base on balls, 11 Ks, a slash line against of 233, 324, 267. No runs allowed. No earned runs, no inherited runners allowed. So Freeman doing it. Jackson, on the other hand, Luke Jackson.
Not doing it.
11.1 innings pitched, 16 hits, 7 bases on balls, 7 strikeouts, a slash line against 333, 411, 417, 9 runs, 7 of them earned for Luke Jackson. So I guess the question, Curtis, is, I mean, we're starting to talk about this. How confident do you feel with Freeman in the postseason? You know, where do you rank him in terms of the options? We just talked about our best three. And is there any reason to see Luke Jackson again?
So Freeman, I know that Freeman is sort of now a punchline, specifically among Steve and his tweets. But they sort of mentioned it the other night that it was sort of beyond the injury, that it was also sort of a mental break for Freeman, that he had pitched in a bunch of high stress situations and sort of it had started to weigh on him. And you could tell from when he was pitching before how poorly he pitched. I mean, since he's come back, you've said it. I mean, he's pitched great. And even the hits, I mean, the BABIP against him right now is 368, which is crazy. Yeah. So I have faith in Freeman to be a very specialized guy out of the bullpen. Luke Jackson, I have no faith in whatsoever. I mean, he's throwing batting practice right now. So, since August 7th, which is where I went back to with Luke Jackson, he's appeared in 16 games. The Braves are 5-11 in games that Luke Jackson appears in. And I don't know if that's, you know, I didn't bother to see like situationally if they were losing and he just came in to pitch because they were losing or whatever. I'm not suggesting that he is the reason they lost 11 of those games, but he didn't help.
He didn't help. And there's certainly some of those games that are on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see why Luke Jackson makes the postseason roster. I put Freeman, you know, I think we've got, I would put Minter, Vizcaino, Venters, and Brock in sort of my first tier of relievers. And I'm not, you know, there's still question marks with all those guys. But then I think you get to Biddle and Carl and Freeman as your next three down. I mean, you know, he has burnt us a lot. I mean, he also has it in him to go on these long stretches where he can shut people down. So I'm glad he's healthy. I'm glad he's back. Maybe that mental break was all that he needed. And God, just no more Luke Jackson. All right.
That is really the theme of the show.
It is. No more Luke Jackson. We're going to play I'm Sorry, Miss Jackson by Outkast at the end since we apologize to all the players' moms. All right. Let's talk about Charlie Culberson. Let's turn that frown upside down, Curtis. So slash line on Culberson for the year, 277. This was heading into Sunday's game. 277, 328, 483, 11 homers. Actually, he's got 18 doubles. If he gets two more doubles, he will be the ninth player on the Braves with 20 doubles this season, which has never happened for the Braves. So that would be a record.
Even for the 1938 Boston Bees?
Even for the 1938 Boston Bees. They were too busy walking people.
Sure.
To get doubles. So I want to hear you talk about Charlie, but I want to throw a surprise fair or foul at you.
Whoa.
I know. I wish we had theme music so I could drum it up. Fair or foul, Culberson is the best Braves utility player since Omar Infante. Now you got to sort of put me on the spot here because you got to go through every roster. But can you remember a more valuable? I go back. I mean, I look. I just thinking about the Gosselins and the Pete Orrs and you know all the. I'm blanking on that guy's name who lost us the playoff game with the error.
Oh, Brooks Conrad.
Brooks Conrad, right? But you think of Martin Prado. You think of Omar Infante is the last one I can remember.
Right. Well, I mean, basically, this trade comes down to that we got Charlie Culberson for Matt Kemp and, like, you know, seven starts from McCarthy.
Yep. And a lot of payroll off the books.
Right.
I mean, for
Yeah, I mean, you know, it goes without saying that Charlie Culberson has been huge for the Braves and so many opportunities this year. He's sort of tailed off this month, but I mean, it's. Some of his best work has come against the Nationals and the Phillies. So that, yes, obviously great that those are two teams that are really important for this Braves team to be where they are. Five of his 13 home runs or whatever it is are against the Nationals, including one on Sunday, I believe. You know, it's pressure situations. The ninth inning stuff. Ninth inning, his slash line is 313, 353, 688. His OPS is 1.040.
Yeah.
And he's hit three ninth inning homers. And they obviously were all game winners.
Yeah.
High leverage, not so great. But, it's just invaluable. And it's one of these things where you don't know how long the magic will last, but it's really been so
just hope important. It lasts this year. I mean, we talked a lot about how, you know, the Braves have it when it comes to grit or whatever that sort of intangible thing is that helps them win late, win with two out, you know, score with two outs, all of that. And Culberson is a big part of that. And so I think we're going to need him to do his Charlie Culberson stuff if we're going to go far in the postseason. And, you know, you saw it Tuesday or in the second game against the Giants when Camargo tweaks his groin and then he comes out and then Culberson, the first at bat, hits a homer and wins that game for us. So, he gives us a lot of versatility and his defense is not so great. So that's his liability. So obviously you don't want him in those situations like you have said before. But I think, you know, this seems like another theme other than hating on Luke Jackson is what is going to be the difference maker in the postseason. And I think we have to have a good Charlie Culberson because he is the reason that we, a big part of the reason why we're where we are.
Well, and they're frankly, their pinch hitting has been awful. Other than like Preston Tucker right at the beginning of the year and Flaherty at the beginning of the year. I mean, the recent additions, Duda and Duvall have been awful.
Horrible. Duvall, horrible.
So Culberson is really the guy that you will call upon to be the guy that, gets you the hit as a pinch hitter, which they really lack right now.
Yes. Yes. You brought up Duvall and my dog went crazy. I apologize for that. She's just all been out of shape as the season's winding down. All right.
Understandable.
Let's move on. All right. Let's look at Ozzie. So Ozzie's last 18 games, slash line 284, 333, 478, one homer, six doubles, two triples. So, you know, I think we were all wringing our hands a little bit about Ozzie, but I take that slash line. And obviously, you know, doing much better on one side of the plate than the other side of the plate. But do you think he's turned it around? Do you buy Ozzie?
There
was good talk about maybe platooning him with a, you know, righty lefty matchup with Culberson, who we just talked about. You still in on that? What are your thoughts on Ozzie as you sort of take consideration of his last 18 games?
It's great that he has sort of finally gotten headed in the right direction. I mean, I think a lot of that, those issues we had, earlier this month, late last month, you know, I mean, with the offense was because Ozzie was not contributing anymore. We've seen him move back up at least some to the top of the – or at least bat second behind Acuna. Yeah, I mean, he's an amazingly dynamic player. And so for him to be part of it and get it going back in the right direction, it is integral for any – aspirations the Braves have. They have to have Ozzie Albies contributing.
Yeah, and it's promising, right? I mean, you know, his first full season, it's a long season. The pitchers adjust, and then he has to adjust. And, you know, over that game, that stretch, he's struck out 11 times in 72 plate appearances. So his K per at-bat rate is down. He's walked five times. You know, his BABIP is a little high at 327, but not too crazy, so he's getting a little bit lucky. But, you know, he's putting the ball in play more. He's not having those bad strikeouts or those really weak flyouts. And I think, yeah, I think he's made the adjustments, right? So it's just interesting to see if he can continue to do this as we get into the postseason. But I don't worry about Ozzie. I think that was a momentary lapse or whatever that happens to all good players, happened to Dansby. I think Ozzie as well is on his way back.
Yes.
Speaking of amazing players, were we? We were. Let's finish inside the numbers with Ronald Acuna. So let's talk about his September. So since he was robbed by Justin Turner for the August Player of the Month, he shrugged that off. And in September, heading into Sunday's game, 333, 463, 685, a 1.148 OPS. His three homers, four doubles, three triples, and three stolen bases. Killing it. So for me, I think the Rookie of the Year race has been won by him in the National League. I think Soto has had a great season, has done some stuff that Acuna has not done. Obviously, he's had more opportunities, but, you know, just finishing the season like this, I think, is really going to be in the voters' mind. And I do think, you know, there's been a conversation going around the media of whether Acuna even deserves consideration for the MVP, the NL MVP. And I don't think he'll win it, but I think I could see him getting some votes. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Soto had a pretty great series against the Braves. So I don't know that is quite as wrapped up as perhaps you do. I think the MVP talk is sort of silly. I mean, he hasn't played enough games. And I think there's no doubt that once he moved to the number one in the lineup, batting first, and obviously what he's done since the All-Star break makes him the second half Braves MVP going away. But I think talk of him being the MVP of the league is a little premature.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now he is playing as well as anybody else in the league is playing. And I absolutely agree with you that the Braves are sitting where the Phillies are if Acuna does not do what he does from the leadoff spot after the All-Star game. But yeah, I mean, he's played like he's barely going to qualify for the batting average title if he does. So it doesn't seem fair, but I don't know. I feel like, what he has done being on the Braves and what he has done for the Braves, like you said, being the MVP, especially the second half MVP, gives him the nod as Rookie of the Year. He carried the team more than Soto did. And plus I just will refuse to accept it. I'm still bitter that Nomo won over Chipper Jones. So
yeah.
I will not accept it, even if whatever they say. All right, so we sort of got into this, and we've got earlier. It's talking about who do we think the starting rotation should be for a division series playoff match. And we've talked about some of the starting pitchers here. And I think, you know, last week we were all saying that it was Fulte, Gausman, and Tehran.
No, Steve thought it was going to be Tukey.
Oh, Tukey. Yeah, Steve's not here. I just mix stuff up. Steve thought it was going to be Luke Jackson. Right. Steve thought it was Tukey, which is interesting. So here we are again. You led off the show talking about how Tehran and Newcomb are pitching their way out of even consideration or even the postseason roster, right? Because certainly, and DOB pointed this out before, you know, if you think Tayron is bad when he warms up, he's even worse coming out of the pen. It's just not his style. So I don't even think that's an option to carry him as a middle relief guy. But what do you think, Curtis? Where are you now after this past week on who are your top three guys to start?
You know, in my mind, I still find it hard to believe that Tayron would not be one of the three guys to start a postseason game for the Braves, just because of his longevity with the team and his sort of continued presence as our number one starter, quote unquote. So it would shock me if it was Anibal Sanchez that got the third. I mean, it's obviously Folty. It's obviously Gausman. I cannot imagine that would be Newcomb. He is really a shell of his past self, his first half self. And it's the same with Tayron. I mean, but Tayron has pitched a lot better recently, where Newcomb has pitched horribly.
Yeah.
Save one start. I mean, going back to that near no hitter against the Dodgers, which is obviously the sort of the benchmark that everybody goes back to, because since then it's been pretty terrible. He's had maybe one good start, which is the one in San Francisco, I think, is where it was that he pitched so well. So I can't see him. And you know, how reliable are you going to believe that those guys would be coming out of the bullpen? You know, I mean, because they walk too many guys, and they walk guys right off the bat. You know, I mean, it's first inning stuff that they're already in trouble. But I just, maybe that's the three, is Gausman and Sanchez and Folty.
That's who I, but I mean, you're right. I think Tayron is our second starter, even right over Gausman. I think just the way the Braves do things, but I just feel like the Saturday game against the Nats is what we can get. It's what he did against the Dodgers in his only postseason appearance before. You know, if we're pitching, if it's an early game, a day game at home, I'm terrified of that. I see him going three innings, you know, not giving us a chance, and then handing it over to a bullpen that's just not going to be able to carry the water for him.
Yeah, right. Even when you're trying to get back in a game, it's just it's continuing to separate from you. I mean, can you imagine if Folty matches up against Kershaw, whoever, in the first game of the postseason series, and maybe loses like a 2-1 game, and then you have to rely on
Tayron.
And I mean, Sanchez has been sort of shaky. I mean, he has gutted these games out, but his last start was pretty bad. I mean, he only gave up maybe one run.
So, you know, he got lucky. He got some lucky double plays, certainly. Yeah. But I think he does that. I don't think you can say lucky. He just, you know, all pitchers get themselves in those situations. It's just when Tayron does it, it seems like the runs come across, and Sanchez has done a good job of limiting that this year. I worry about how deep he'll go into a game, back to our earlier thing. But I feel like, I just feel Sanchez is a better option over Tayron or Newcomb or Tukey at this point, right?
I mean, he doesn't walk guys. I mean, that's the key. I think the last start he had, he walked like three or four guys, and that was the most he's had in a start for the Braves this year. So that's the key. I mean, it all comes down to that. It all comes down to extra opportunities that you're giving these other teams in the postseason. It's hinged error, walks, any of that type of stuff that you give a team the opportunity to take advantage of. In the postseason, obviously it's amplified, and you're playing the best teams in the league with deep lineups, and they're gonna punish you for it. So you have to limit that stuff as much as possible.
I mean, it's looking like, you know, Rockies or Dodgers, right, at this point. Obviously a lot can happen over the next 13 games. Those lineups will destroy us.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
And they also take it from a one-run deficit to a two- or three-run deficit in the process, too.
Yeah, and then those guys' bullpens are good. Whoever we're going to play, they have good bullpens. And so I think you want the leadership. I mean, Sanchez has, I think, six career postseason starts. He's 3-3. His ERA is right around 3. He has been there. He has done that. He has seen it all. And Folty's never been in the postseason. Gausman's never been in the postseason. You know, and Tayron has one start, which was horrible, like I said, against the Dodgers. I think you got to put Sanchez in there. I think you got to just, you know, just forget everything, forget whatever tradition there is, or you owe this player. I think you got to go with something that's a little bit more stable than Tehran.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of the postseason, as we just were, let's play America's favorite baseball podcast segment, the postseason hope meter. Steve phoned in. He is at a 17, a strong 17, a weak 18.
Right.
Last week, Curtis, we were strong eights, almost nines, if I remember correctly, and we're derided by Steve for that. How do you feel now? 13 games to play. Eight's our magic number.
Coming back from San Francisco, I was a 10. There's no doubt about it. The last two games have sort of left a bad taste in my mouth. I still think we're in good shape. I haven't seen what the numbers are, as far as us going 500 and the Phillies having to, go basically win every game out, which is almost as close to that, with seven games against them and us having a 6.5 game lead. It's getting close to that. But all that being said, I am a 9.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I'm a 9.5. I'm a little bit more than a 9. I'm so snake bit by the year that we collapsed down the stretch. You never know. We have 7 at home this week against the Cardinals, a very good team. The Phillies are not a very good team right now, but we're at home and they need it. And who knows, right? I mean, our bullpen can blow up. There's a lot of pitchers that we got to start. We can't start Folty and Gausman every start. I feel like it would be horrible and shocking if we lost it, but I still can almost see a way that could happen. Not that I want to. I think obviously this week is a big week for us. If we can take business, if we can just split this week, we get our number down to 4 with 6 to play. I feel better about that.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to play Shot in the Dark in just a second, but let's take a quick break. All right, folks, it's time for Shot in the Dark, where we make our crazy predictions about the week ahead and then check in on the following week to see how we did. So let's start with a look back at last week's Shots in the Dark, and we'll start with our listener's shot. It came from Bart Chin, and he said that the September call-up bullpen arms will pitch at least 4 innings, give up 1 earned or less, and will get a win or a save. No. So Kyle Wright pitched 2 innings, 0 runs, no decision or didn't get anything in that game. Tukey on Saturday went 1 inning, 3 earned runs, 4 base on balls. Freed pitched 1 inning, 1 earned run, and Sabatka had 2 appearances where he pitched 1.1, no earned run. So totals were, you were right, they pitched 5.1 inning pitched, but they gave up 4 earned runs, and none of them were involved in any of the decisions. So thanks for playing, Bart, but not this time. All right, so let's take a look at ours, Curtis. So we'll start with Steve. Steve said that the Braves would shut out the Giants in 2 of the 3 games, and it was close. They only gave up 1 run, but they did it in each of the games. So no for Steve. I said that for the week, Freddie would have a better slash and more home runs and RBIs than Bryce Harper. No. Freddie did have a slightly better slash. He hit 235, 318, 294 with 3 RBIs. But Bryce went 136, 321, 273. He had 2 homers, including 1 today on Sunday's game. And 4 RBIs. So he won, and I did not. And boo, Bryce Harper. And then finally, Curtis, yours was that Yoan Camargo would have 7 or more extra base hits this week. No. Unfortunately, and I mentioned this earlier, he had to leave the second game. He strained his groin running out a grounder to first. So he didn't even have an extra base hit before that, but he did not play the rest of the week. So 0 extra base hits for him and 0 wins for all of us, in Shots in the Dark this week. So let's look a week, at next week. We've got 2 weeks left until we get to our postseason Shots in the Dark, where it gets really crazy. And we'll start with Steve. Steve phoned his in. He believes that the Braves we'll throw 2 or more games this week where we only give up 1 or fewer walks. two or more games with one or fewer walks from the entire pen. That would be amazing.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I meant to do this here. Keep talking. All right, keep going.
All right, Kurt. And here we are. It's your turn to play Shot in the Dark. I think we're violating every copyright infringement.
That's all right.
All right. What do you got?
Freddie Freeman. We talked about it. Freddie Freeman breaks out. He hits over 350 this week with three homers.
All right. That would be great as well. I believe that.
Charles Nelson Riley in the top corner matches my prediction.
We just lost maybe 75% of our audience there.
People are Googling Charles Nelson Riley right now.
They're like, what has happened? Steve, please come back. Yeah. Whatever we have to do to make you come back.
I can get it going again.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I think they're still hearing it in their head. All right. Mine is that Tukey, who will get a start this week, will go 7+. He will give up 2 or less earned runs, and he will win the game. That is
nice.
Yeah. I hope all of these things happen, as I often do. All right, so a big week ahead. We've got all at home, 3 against the Cardinals, 4 against the Phillies. This was the best I could do. I had to piece this together from a couple of websites because in some sites they didn't have the starters, but this is what I think is going to happen. Game 1 starts tomorrow. Miles Mikolas, who is 15-4 with a 2.99 ERA for the Cardinals, will face Folty. Game 2, Austin Gomber, who recently joined the Cards rotation, is 5-1 with a 3.78 ERA. He will face Anibal Sanchez. And then the Cardinals series will end with Jack Flaherty, who has an okay record, 8-7, but has a 2.86 ERA for the Cardinals. He faces Tukey. And, of course, Tukey will win that game. So unsurprisingly and maddeningly, the Cardinals are good and have great starting pitching, and nobody knows who any of them are.
Yeah, I was about to say, those are some really household names that you're throwing out there.
Yeah, but, I mean, Mikolas and Flaherty, both sub-3 ERAs.
Yeah, getting it done.
The other guy, Austin Gomber, his ERA, his one loss was a bad loss, which ballooned his ERA, but he is also very, very tough. So that's going to be a tough series. And then the Phillies come to town. We got 4 against the Phillies. Again, this is where it's a little questionable if these are even right, but let's pretend they are. Vince Velasquez will start game 1 on Thursday in his 4.5 ERA. He will face Gausman. And then I believe Nick Pivetta and his 4.64 ERA will face Julio Teheran and his 4.5 walk rate per 4 pitches. That sounded better in my head. And so Julio walks people. That's the joke. Get it?
Right.
All right. Game 3 earlier in the year would have been exciting. Maybe not so much. Recently, Jake Arrieta and his 3.66 ERA faces Sean Newcomb. I pray that it's the good Newcomb. And then we close the series with one of the best pitchers in the National League, Aaron Nola, his 2.42 ERA, facing another one of the best pitchers in the National League, Folty, if he gets his second start of the week. All right, so a tough week, a big week for us. Steve wrote in, he thinks we will go 11-1 over the 7 games. Kurt, what about you?
I'm going to say 4-3, but I'm not loving that. Wouldn't that be right? 7 games, didn't you say?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. So take 2 of 3 from the Cardinals.
Yep.
And then split with the Phillies, which is exactly, if we get out of with a split with the Phillies, then that's exactly what we need to do. I mean, obviously it would be great to sweep them, but you get out with a split and it's 4 more games down and they've gained no ground. So,
yeah, I think we go 4-3, but I think we go 1-2 and then 3-1. And that by the end of the week, the magic number is down to 3.
Look at you.
Look at me. All right, Curtis, that's the show. So folks, thanks for listening. Remember, you can find us on Twitter. Oh, wait. I have to go back. If you're listening, Please submit your shots in the dark and play along with us. I was so nervous about the week ahead.
Whoa.
I almost blew it. It was the match game music. Completely yeah. threw me off. Steve's going to fire both of us. It's going to go back to his solo shows. All right. Yeah. Shots in the dark. Get him in. The first pitch is tomorrow night at after seven. So get him in before seven tomorrow. We will pick one. And then we will talk about it on next week's show. Use hashtag ABTSITD when you submit. All right. That is the show now, officially. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk. You can check us out on Facebook. The podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and all other outlets. And you can always get everything you need at www.atlantabaseballtalk.com. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.